Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Welcome back in. Hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And we are very pleased to go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend Kayla Anderson from News 2. Kayla, what's going on? How are we doing?
Well, good morning, gentlemen and lady. I hope you guys are having a good morning. I have got my coffee, as you can probably tell.
Oh, yeah.
I hiked this morning.
Very nicely done. Kayla is ready. Nice. She's raring to go here this morning at 8 o'clock. So, Kayla, let's start with the news of the week, and that is Urban Meyer and everything going on with him down in Jacksonville. Obviously, that's the opponent for the Titans this week. I guess, number one, what's been your reaction to just a wild week for Urban Meyer and the Jaguars? And do you think this has any effect whatsoever on the product on the field coming up on Sunday?
Yeah, so first and foremost, it was, I don't want to say a shocker that Urban Meyer made headlines, because we all know he's kind of been making headlines for a while now.
Oh, yeah.
In very different capacities. But this was a little bit of a shocker just for the fact that, I covered Urban Meyer for three seasons at Ohio State, including that championship run. I knew Shelly Meyer, his wife, really well, because she would do a lot of stuff in the community, and she would actually come on our show a lot. On the weekend, we had a sports show, and she would make appearances every now and then. She's got a big personality. And so, he's always called himself a family man, and he's always said, my kids mean everything to me, the grandkids, my wife. And so when I saw this video, I was just kind of like, whoa, this is out of all the things that Urban Meyer has done, this is not what I expected in terms of a predicament to get himself in, but here we are. And this week has got to be completely chaos down there in Jacksonville, in my opinion, because you've got these grown men now that he coaches, not college guys that, follow a lead of their college coach and know that that's kind of what they have to do. Like, these are guys that are making millions of dollars, more than the coach is making. And he goes out there and causes this kind of distraction, just a few days before you get back to work trying to win a game this season. I think it's just an awful situation for the team down there. It's just such a distraction for those players. And no matter how you want to look at it, I think it's really hard to stay focused as a team, to prepare for your next opponent when you're already dealing with a winless season up to this point, and now you've got a coach who is pretty much going out there and embarrassing, the whole entire team and himself.
Well, Kayla, as someone with the insight you have on Urban Meyer, I'm curious to know, what was your initial reaction when he got this job? Do you like his, obviously, I mean, I think we all like them less now, but do you like his chances to be able to figure out the move from college to the NFL? What do you think about what you've seen so far?
Yeah, so when I first found out that he was going to take the job in Jacksonville, I was a little surprised, just for the fact that I honestly thought he was going to at some point take that USC job. I mean, he was over there doing TV in LA with Fox, and he was doing all, the pregame and the halftime stuff. And so I thought maybe he'll just end up taking that USC job, because we all know that he can coach at the college level. That we know for sure. Like, he has proven he's a good college coach. He has rings to prove it. But when he said he was going to take this job in Jacksonville, at first I was like, there's no way. I don't think it's going to happen. But then the part of me that knew that Urban Meyer had an ego, that Urban Meyer had a big ego, I was like, you know what? He is going to take this job, because he wants to prove to everyone that he's not just a good college coach. He wants to coach at the highest level and prove that he can do it, because everybody around him is pretty much saying, nah, that's not where you should go. Like, you saw what happened to Nick Saban, right? Stay in your lane. And so up to this point, I just haven't been impressed. And I say that because he's made all those mistakes leading, you know, into this whole debacle. There was the things with the strength and conditioning coach there. I'm sorry, but I have nothing against Tim Tebow, but bringing Tebow on, I think he lost a lot of respect from the players just because we all know, like, Tebow's time is past and there's other players in the league that probably shouldn't have an opportunity, but we all know his connection with Tim Tebow, right? So there's just a lot of things that have happened where I just don't see progress at all. And then you have to look at the record, and I know they almost were able to get that win against Cincinnati. There's been a little bit of progress with Trevor Lawrence, but overall, I haven't been that impressed. And now you put this on the team, I just think it sets you back.
Kayla Anderson from News 2 on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, Kayla, from the Titans' point of view, obviously a bad loss last week against the Jets. You're here at 2-2. You've got, like, the entire team on the injury report heading into this game coming up. And the offensive line, it's been a big storyline so far this year. Obviously in the Arizona game and then again last week against the Jets. I guess from 1 to 10, your concern level with this offensive line in pass blocking, and if that doesn't get significantly better, can this mm-hmm. Titans team overcome that? What have you made of the way the line has played so far and what that means for them as they go forward here?
Yeah, it's progressively my worry level, and the radar is getting a little bit higher because I understand in that first game against Arizona, and now we're seeing how good of a team Arizona is. I think at this point we understand how talented they are. But you kind of say, okay, you know, Taylor Lewan's getting back. This is his first game he's played in a while. You know, you didn't get much work during training camp. We've seen that in the past where it takes them a minute to get their chemistry going, like when they added Roger Saffold and everything. But now you're at this point, and there's been so much up, down, left, right, no consistency at all. The communication between them on the line, the injuries, it seems to be an issue that is more so growing than digressing. And it worries me because I just don't know if Taylor Lewan is going to be 100% himself this year because you're coming off of that ACL, and I don't know what that's like, right? And I certainly don't know what that's like being an NFL player and having to, you know, feel comfortable back in that spot, and it might take him a year to get back to where he needs to get to. And then you look at all the other injuries. Roger Saffold is in and out of games. Ben Jones is in and out of games. And just the guys that have come up behind them, whether it be Aaron Brewer with a botched snap or Quisenberry just with some mistakes, I just don't feel comfortable with what the line has put out there. And I'm hoping that it can get better, but that's up to them as individuals. They have to take accountability, because if they don't, Ryan Tannehill is not going to be healthy the rest of the season. I mean, there's going to be a point where Ryan Tannehill gets knocked out of a game, and I don't think the Titans can afford that, like, 100%. There's no way that you're going to win games moving forward without Ryan Tannehill. So I feel like there's work to be done, obviously. I think it can improve, but if they don't stay healthy, I'm really worried, guys, about this offense moving forward, because it really starts up front.
Well, let me throw this at you then, Kayla, because we did this earlier in the week. If you were the Titans and you could pick one of these banged up players and know for sure, okay, this player is healthy, you're going to get this player totally healthy the rest of the year, you could pick one guy, who would it be?
Oh, that's difficult. But, you know, I think I'm going to go with A.J. Brown. And the only reason why I say that is because he has just proven time and time again to be that playmaker that Ryan Tannehill can rely on. And he's given the team momentum in parts of the games when they need momentum, when they need that big play. And I know that, you know, it starts up front with the offensive line, and obviously Tannehill can't sit there and get sacked every game, but I think Tannehill feels comfortable to make decisions sometimes because he has held onto the ball a couple times, right? That he might have been more comfortable if his guys were out there, his actual starters. And with A.J. Brown out there, I just feel like he has that comfort level with him, that chemistry, that reliability with him. And so A.J., I feel like having him back is crucial in terms of the offense, and just because we know what we get out of this guy, right? I mean, he wants to be out there. I mean, he was at practice yesterday. He's had that hamstring. You can just tell this guy wants to play, and he loves this team, and he wants to win. And I appreciate that, and I think that needs to be on the field.
Well, Kayla, I feel smarter because my answer was also A.J. Brown.
Okay, I like it.
Synergy.
There are no wrong answers. There are no wrong answers here.
That's right.
I went Bud Dupree.
That's right.
Yeah,
oh, yeah. No, I like that too, Joe. I mean, defensively, yeah. Sometimes I forget about
Thank you,
defense,
Kayla.
Right?
You guys are you guys are all into the offense. What about stopping people?
Kayla Anderson from News 2, our guest here on Robbie and Rextro. Kayla, great stuff. Really appreciate you taking time to join us this morning.
Hey, thanks, my friends. And get Joe that Dunkin' Donut coffee.
I know. You need to really step it up there, Rextro. We can get this done for you. I don't think there's any question about it.
You know I won't turn down coffee.
That's right. Kayla, right? We appreciate you.
Bye, guys.
Thanks, Kayla.
Bye, gal.
Kayla Anderson from News 2, our guest here on Robbie and Rexard. We'll come back and react to what Kayla had to say there. Take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Attention men, have you been struggling with erectile dysfunction? Well, Hillside Medical Clinic has a breakthrough treatment for ED that does not require any pills, injections, or surgery. And right now, Andrew joins me from Hillside Medical Clinic to tell us all about it. Andrew, what's going on? How are we doing?
Hey, we are doing good. And guys, we have a major medical advancement. If you are frustrated in the bedroom, if you're taking the pill, or you're just living with erectile dysfunction, you do not have to do that any longer. Hillside Medical uses the most studied form of acoustic wave therapy. This technology, gentle pressure waves over about 10 minutes, open up and regrow blood vessels, improves circulation enough. Finally, we can get rid of the ED at its core without the use of pills.
And that, obviously, without the use of pills is great, but maybe the natural follow-up for some listeners is, okay, well, that all sounds great. What kinds of studies have been done on this technology?
If you go to hillsidemedicalclinic.com, you can read 50 third-party studies. Most people have heard of the Cleveland Clinic. It's one of the biggest hospitals in America. It said that this technology creates a clinical and statistical increase in blood flow. That is so cool and exactly what we as men need more of.
And Andrew, I hear you have a special offer right now if our listeners call in.
Yes, call us this morning now. You'll qualify for the initial screening assessment, even the blood flow ultrasound free, plus a gift that I don't think I've ever seen fail. It produces immediate results in the bedroom. We're talking hundreds of dollars in value. Give us a call now. It's all free.
That's right, guys. You heard it there from Andrew. Put a stop to your erectile dysfunction by treating the root cause of the problem. Call Hillside Medical Clinic right now to qualify for that offer. 615-576-5000. Once again, that's 615-576-5000. Put a stop to your ED and regain your love life. Call Hillside Medical Clinic right now at 615-576-5000. Do you want to win a pair of tickets to see Daughtry at the Ryman Auditorium on November the 3rd? Well, head on over to YouTube and subscribe to the 1025 The Game YouTube page, and you'll enter for your chance to see Daughtry. Once you subscribe, email us at promotions@cromwellmedia.com. Once again, that's promotions@cromwellmedia.com with your YouTube handle. One winner will be chosen on Monday, October the 11th. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Visit ballstatebank.com to learn more about their free Kasasa checking account. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Thanks to Kayla Anderson from News 2 for joining us in the last segment. Going to be an interesting game for the Titans coming up on Sunday against the Jaguars. And Joe, we brought up the injury list earlier. It is quite expansive for the Titans. 21 people on the injury report yesterday. We'll see how many of those can get healthier as this week moves along here. But looking ahead to this game, I guess if you're the Titans offensively, and let's just say that Taylor Lewan can play, Ben Jones can play, and you feel okay about your offensive line, at least in terms of the starters heading into it, what do you want to see from this group in terms of how they respond in pass protection? And have we seen it at any point this year where you think they play to your potential? And the game I'm thinking about is the Indy game. Has there been a game yet where you have felt really good about this offensive line?
Well, listen, after the Indy game, and I think in particular, so much of it revolves around Lawan, obviously. And that's why you pay a left tackle that much. You need that guy to be great. You need to be able to devote resources elsewhere. I mean, he's going to be on an island. And I thought the Indy game and the second half of the Seattle game represented progress for the offensive line. I mean, really progress for everyone. I mean, that game and a half, I guess it's a little more than a game and a half because you have overtime in Seattle too. That game and two thirds was nice. Good. That was good football. And that includes, I mean, I thought the offensive line was fine. You know, I mean, the Colts are not, they don't have great players, I guess, on the edge, but they've got a very good defense. And obviously it starts in the middle with Buckner. But that was fine. I mean, so the Titans have given up 17 sacks and they've given up 13 of them in the two losses. You know, they've given up four in the two wins. So it's not like it's been consistently, I mean, it hasn't been consistently anything with this team, right? I mean, this team has not been consistently anything.
Yep.
So yeah, I mean, if you want to spin that positively, there are stretches of good football, even from the offensive line. It's just hard to remember that with the latest image being what the Jets did to them.
It is. And now you're moving, you know, into a line of scrimmage game against the Jags offensively, where like if Jacksonville is able to generate a consistent pass rush on Sunday against Ryan Tannehill, then I think you start to become very concerned about this group because I mean, look, the Jags, we know what their roster's like right now. They've got some players that are good. Every NFL team does. But the Jaguars should not give you very many problems offensively if you're the Titans coming up this Sunday. If we're talking again on Monday morning about Ryan Tannehill taking shot after shot and running for his life and the offensive line giving up four sacks in this game against the Jags, I think we reach a point at that point where you've got to be really concerned about this group as they move forward here.
Well, I think that's fair, but I mean, there's concern going in again on the health front too. I mean, if it's turf toe with Taylor Lewan, that is a painful injury that really limits players. And again, he was down just like Ben Jones was down in the first series for a long time. And now he's on the injury report with a neck. Saffold's in concussion protocol. Who the heck knows what that means? But usually you count the next game out. Now, he was out on the field yesterday, but that doesn't guarantee anything. So now you might be talking about Brewer in at left guard. You got Ben Jones, who's always on the verge of leaving a game. So Dylan Radunz, get ready. And then what if Taylor Lewan is severely limited? I mean, I think it's Ty Sombrilo over. I mean, at least you have some depth, some that has proven to an extent. And then, of course, with Radunz, who the heck knows? But so that alone, like if you told me that like Lewan, Saffold, Jones, like they'll all play the whole game, the way the Titans run the ball against Jacksonville as a yeah. as a franchise tradition with Derrick Henry, I'd feel pretty good if Todd Downing has a good plan. You know, that you're not too predictable. You're not putting Tannehill in bad spots. And look, it does matter on the outside. I mean, Kayla was exactly right. Like, yeah, Tannehill's taking sacks and protection and all that stuff. But when you have A.J. Brown, it changes things. It changes the defense, and it changes your mindset and your comfort and just just opens things up for you that you can do as a quarterback that you couldn't do last week. So I mean, a lot of this is still tied to the question of the 21 people on the report and what it's going to look like Sunday.
It is, and maybe we'll see once again today Derrick Henry on the injury report / the rest report for Derrick Henry. That's been a Thursday tradition the last couple of weeks. As we know, Derrick Henry has totally destroyed the Jacksonville Jaguars in his career. And honestly, like the yards per game is lower than I thought. It's at 101.3 in his yards per game against the Jags in his career. Now, keeping in mind, early in his career, he wasn't getting a whole lot of carries against the Jags either. So I'd like to further break that down, but I don't have those numbers in front of me. So I'm going to make up my own total. over under Rex Road, 165 and a half yards rushing for Henry on Sunday. Over under 165 and a half.
Yeah, that's a good one, because like if you said like over under 140, like I would have expected, I'd probably take the over.
Yep.
That's a big number to count on 165 and a half.
It's big. We've seen him go for bigger.
But I'm going to say over, and the part of the reason I'm going to say over, it's kind of like late last year, is this Titans defense bad enough to let the Jags and Lions stay in games long enough for Derrick Henry to put up ridiculous numbers in those games? And yep, the answer was yes.
Yeah.
And I think the Titans defense is going to give up some points on Sunday. I think they're going, I think Trevor Lawrence is going to make some plays at their expense. And so I think that's going to make it necessary for Derrick Henry to still be a factor late in the game. When it's probably not going to go well for the Jags at that point, tackling him. You know, that's the thing about the offensive line, which is really interesting, is that by the deeper numbers, like their run blocking was fantastic against the Jets.
Yep.
A very good front seven, which was supposed to be very good in that way too. The Jets did a great job of tackling Derrick Henry in the second level. It's just that the Titans, I mean, he had lanes. And so I'll go over.
The last time we saw Derrick Henry play against the Jags was December 13th last year. 26 carries, 215 yards, 2 touchdowns for King Henry in that game.
Could have been worse for the Jags. They got off easy.
It actually could have been worse in that game for the Jags. We'll come back. We'll get into the Tennessee Volunteers. How do they respond from a big win on Saturday against Missouri, and can they carry that forward against South Carolina coming up this weekend? We'll get into that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube today and every day. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Joe, the Tennessee Volunteers back in action coming up on Saturday against South Carolina, fresh off a 62-24 win against Missouri this past Saturday. Did you see the jerseys that Tennessee came out with yesterday, which I believe they have now titled the Dark Mode jerseys? All black jerseys with the white helmets for Tennessee. What did you think of those?
This is just another opportunity for you guys to call me Boomer, right?
No, I'm truly interested in your thoughts.
You know that I hate alternative stupid uniforms, and I hate these two.
You do, Joe? I never knew this about you.
Oh, yeah.
Man, it's such a load of crap. It's just a way to get people to buy more merch. And
which it does.
Most of them are so stupid. Again, I've told the story. What was it? 2011? As I recall, Taylor Lewan was on the field acting like a complete jackass that day and getting smoked. But, you know, Michigan State looked like those little army men that you play with.
Yeah.
Like stupid uniforms. They call it, the Nike Pro Combat. Just wear your green and white. And then Michigan changes before they come out. So they put on some like weird, like these stripes. They look like bumblebees. So it's bumblebees against little army men. Just stupid. Wear your maize and blue. It looks good. Tennessee, wear your nice orange and white. It looks great. But whatever. I mean, I'll be the boomer. I'll be the boomer on this.
See, I'm cool with it for one game.
Yeah, whatever. Honestly, like I have less of a problem in college football because, I mean, it's one of those things where, like, if you don't do something that somebody else is doing, then you're not as cool and you're trying to attract young people to come play for your program.
Right.
Like in the NFL, it's purely a money grab. And same thing. It's just a lot of these, whatever, like the color rush that they used to have on Thursday nights, they look so dumb. So whatever. Like I said, I think the Tennessee uniforms look like candy corn.
Look, they're going to wear them on Saturday against South Carolina. And, you know, look, they're fine. I'm glad that this is just going to be kind of a one-time thing, and then they'll go back to orange and white because – I do like the traditional look, but I'm cool with the one-time uniform going to the black, and the players like it, so I'm all cool with it. I will say, like, I love the helmets that are with them. I think they look great, but I also don't want them to wear those helmets in these games. Like, to me, it makes no sense to have the jersey that's all black and orange, and then you've got the white helmets up top. Like, just wear black and orange helmets. Like, just go the whole thing with it and go black and orange helmets. Even though I think the helmet itself looks great, the white helmet with the all-black uniform, I don't know if that's going to look great.
Or, just spitballing, wear your freaking normal uniform. But yes, I think you may be onto something there.
Joe, Chase McCabe just texted me, how would you feel about the Titans wearing a red uniform?
I'm for it.
Oh, because they have a little tiny bit of red in the flaming thumbtack?
There's always been like a fan-made alternative red uniform. That goes back to like the early days. Like, you can see people still, if you go to Titans games here, walking around in a red and blue Eddie George jersey or a Frank Wycheck jersey. Or there's even some people that have modernized it, and they've got a red Tannehill jersey. I've seen it.
Well, Nate, the QB wears red in practice. Nate on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, how would Joe feel about the Preds bringing back the alternate navy blue? There's a lot of push for it from fans. I would not be for it. I know. Be surprised. I would not be for it.
You hater of alternate uniforms in all respects. Not even just football. All respects. Okay.
I'm trying to think. Okay, here and there, I kind of do like the throwbacks. The NFL has done that before.
Yeah.
So, for example, the country is, of course, forced every year to watch the freaking Lions.
That is correct.
You know, play football. And, of course, as a child, I was, like, excited to watch the Lions break my heart on a Thanksgiving morning. But they did, back in the Barry Sanders era, they would wear, like, their 1950s units, and those were kind of cool. So throwback stuff. But then, like, the Steelers, their throwback unis, again, you're talking about bumblebees.
It's awful.
For the most part, it's not. It's just dumb.
Every time the Packers wear a throwback uniform and it's like that blue and brown, like, no, get it out of here. Yeah, don't want it.
Right. It's like the town, you know, the townsfolk who owns the team also like had like the school children come up with a uniform during crafts time.
Maybe so. I was like, as a Titans fan, I'm sure aware, sometimes you get flashbacks when you go to those throwback unis. Like, I think the Patriots were wearing throwbacks when they beat the Titans 59-0 in the snow game that day. Tough day for the Titans.
So do you hate Oregon, Joe?
Yeah, they got a new uniform every week.
Well, so here's the thing. So, like, and honestly, I mean, they're obviously kind of at the forefront. I mean, it's basically Nike headquarters, right?
Yep.
So the thing about Oregon is they actually made a brand out of being different every week, and I think that's kind of cool. Like, I don't have, there's not some like Oregon uniform where I'm like, no, that, they, but some of these college teams do. Like Penn State, some people hate them, some people love them. They're the most simple uniform out there, right?
Yeah, I don't like
them. You should never not be in those uniforms. Ohio State, you should never not be in those uniforms. I just think that and like Florida State too. Like, I've always loved their uniforms.
Yep.
I just feel like when you are branded as something, I think branding is a big thing in sports, in the world. I understand like the financial element of this. And again, young kids with college, it's a little different. But with Oregon, because they didn't have an identifiable, like, that's the Oregon uniform, I actually thought that was cool. But it also made it worse because now everybody's like, oh, well, we should change our uniforms every 3 weeks. And then you flip on the TV sometimes, you have no idea who the hell is playing.
Well, Joe, regardless of the uniform that Tennessee is wearing coming up on Saturday, I think they should absolutely destroy South Carolina in this game. And it's going to be an interesting test. We wondered last week heading into the Missouri game, how do you respond after the Florida game where you fell off the rails in the second half? Now the question is, can this team handle success? I mean, you come out, you just destroyed Missouri 62-24. You're favored by double digits in this game against South Carolina. Can this Tennessee team come out and take care of business? Are they mature enough to come out at home and look sharp against this South Carolina team? Looking forward to that coming up on Saturday.
Well, look, Shane Beamer, I think, is a good coach. I like the hire. I think he's going to be a good coach there. I mean, we'll see what he can do on the recruiting trail, you know, to get them back to being more competitive. But Shane Beamer is going to they're going to have good defensive teams.
Yep.
I believe, you know, Shane, just like his dad, you know, and I know his dad had Bud Foster all those years at Virginia Tech, but you know, they're going to have good defense teams. They're going to have good special teams too. And I think it'll be way more resistance for Tennessee Saturday. I mean, they are not going to go out there and just, hey, pick your big lane to run through and pick your running back to have like 50, 60, 70 yards. It's not going to be like that. It will be a tougher game. They're not going to – like if Tennessee doesn't reach 40, I'm not going to be surprised. But South Carolina can't score. And honestly, I'm optimistic about Tennessee winning this game handily because I like how their defense is playing.
Yep.
You got to keep staying healthy through the season because your twos, you really fall off in some spots. And just like everybody, they've got a few guys banged up. But I really like how they're playing, and I don't think South Carolina is going to do much at all offensively. And that's that's something going into the year I wasn't sure I would say going into an SEC game.
Coming up next, we have the best and worst things in sports for the week. Hit up our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We'll take your submissions there at 615-737-1025. That's coming up next. But also, Fury and Wilder back in the ring this Saturday to complete their epic trilogy. And FanDuel Sportsbook is giving new customers exclusive 30-1 odds on either fighter to win. And that's right now is the perfect time to give FanDuel a shot because you can win $150 on a $5 bet. Personally, I like Fury in this fight. I think it's going to be a great fight the third go-around, but you take it any way you want to take it. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and sign up with promo code ROB to get in on the action. Once again, that promo code is ROB. And with FanDuel in your corner, you always get exclusive odds boosts, great promotions, and so much more. That's why they're America's number one sportsbook. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. New users only. A $10 first deposit required. Must wager in designated offer market. Max bonus of $150. Bonus for Tennessee users fulfilled in site credit within 72 hours. Tennessee site credit expires 14 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789.
The best and worst of the sports week, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
On ESPN.
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
And it is that time of the week, time for the best and worst things in sports. Streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, and YouTube. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We'll take your submissions for the best and worst thing in sports on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe Rexroad, as we do every week, let's kick things off with the best thing in sports. And Rexroad, we begin with you. What is your best thing in sports for this week?
So for the second straight week, you know, I've like it's been really easy to find worsts, and I've struggled to find a best.
Yep.
So I'm thinking that this just means that I'm a negative, pessimistic person, which I guess people have already figured out by now. Yeah, it could be. Okay, so you gotta follow along with me here. You have to actually have to follow me on Twitter. Okay, for this to but I wanted to switch to this today because my good friend and friend of the show, which by the way we have to get her on again here soon, sometimes in hoop season, Lisa Byington had a really great thread about going to the Chicago Sky game last night with a friend of hers from college. Of course, she played soccer and hoops at Northwestern, and the 8-year-old daughter. So this thread on Twitter, I won't recap the whole thing, but it's like she just recapped with photos and everything, like a young person becoming a huge fan of a team in real time. And it's pretty awesome. And I would say to make this a larger point, it's another, I think, example of, you know, women's athletics and the growth and the increased presence, although there's still a long way to go on that front. And frankly, I think Nashville, by the way, would be a very good place for a WNBA team. But
heck yes.
That thread, if you go at Lisa Byington, BYINGTO, and of course, Lisa did the NCAA tournament this past year. She's now the Bucks play-by-play announcer. She's going to be the first woman to do an NBA team play-by-play full-time. And check that out. It's really cool.
My new best thing in sports may be the Robo Joe we just got for a second. It was good stuff.
Yeah, Joe, you were breaking up a little.
It worked out. It was fine.
We heard you, though.
It was all good.
What did you guys miss? I said some incredibly...
You didn't miss it. We didn't miss anything. It just,
profound things.
We didn't miss anything. Just a little bit of it was a little slower, and it was maybe Jim Wyatt-esque. It was good stuff.
Okay. All right. Nobody beats the king, Jim Wyatt. But right. All right, cool.
Michelle Knezovic, your best thing in sports for this week.
Okay, piggybacking off Joe with the women's sports. We love giving them more coverage. So last week, I think this was Joe's best about you had a friend who wrote an article on the NWSL and shedding light on essentially this just abuse that's been going on. But the women's players last night, there were three NWSL games, and they took a stance at the 6th minute, and they all stood in a circle and held hands to represent the 6 years of the, essentially, people knowing about this abuse and not saying anything about this specific coach, Paul Riley. So I think that's just a very good example of, you know, the athletes recognizing something and using their platform to help make a positive change. We've seen other coaches this week use their platform and in public to not be a positive change in the community.
That is true.
So, you know, using their platform, yeah, they're athletes, but they're also public figures and young kids look up to them. So I think that was pretty awesome what they did last night.
Very nicely done. I have two things for the best things in sports this week. I'll start with my beloved Green Bay Packers. Aaron Jones has gotten a pocket. The Packers equipment staff has sewn a pocket in his jersey over his heart where his father's ashes can go. If you missed the Monday night game between the Packers and the Lions, Aaron Jones had, I believe, 4 touchdowns in that game. And on one of them, he lost his father's ashes in the end zone that was around his neck. So the equipment staff and the grounds crew spent all night at Lambeau Field searching around, looking for it. They finally found his father's ashes in whatever he's carrying those in, and now have sewn a pocket into Aaron Jones's jersey so he can play football while having his father's ashes with him in the pocket. So I thought that was really cool. And also, Taylor Heinicke, quarterback of the Washington football team, he's looking awfully good so far with Ron Rivera and company, and he had a pretty nice interview after the game the other day, got emotional talking about making it to this point, and at one point staying with his sister and her husband on their couch, almost giving up on football as he quarterbacked an XFL team. And now he is the starting quarterback of an NFL team and is playing pretty well. So shout out to Taylor Heinicke of the Washington football team and Aaron Jones as well. My two best things in sports. Joe Rexroad, your worst thing in sports for this week.
See, this is where, so I don't like going first when I'm like scrambling to, you know, to come up with an answer. But I do like going first on this because when I know what I want my answer to be, and it's probably like the obvious thing.
Yeah.
But I mean, I got to go Urban Meyer. And you know what? I am going to take it in a specific direction, inspired by the texter from earlier. You know, the worst thing is that Urban Meyer has made his own bed here. Okay. But like his kids and grandkids like can now see this about their dad and grandpa. You know what I mean? Obviously, he's been criticized, and that comes with the territory of being a big-time coach, but he's an all-time great coach. He's rich beyond words. I know some people – not rich enough for an athletic subscription, but very rich. I know some people will look at someone like that and say, yeah, whatever, they're fine. But, I mean, again, like his family didn't sign up for this crap. And, so I have zero sympathy for Urban Meyer, but quite a bit for them. So that's my worst thing.
Michelle Knezovic, your worst thing in sports.
Okay, kind of obvious the Urban Meyer situation, but going a little bit different way. There's a lot of ways you can take it. Obviously, you know, in your personal life, if you want to make that decision, if you want to mess up your life, go for it. But just the consistent, he's been consistent with lying this week.
There has been that.
There's very much proof of this video and what is happening. And I just, what really irks me, and I think the worst part is, you are standing in front of national media and just continuously lying this week. And people are like catching you in this. Like there's video proof. But I just don't really understand how he can stand up there and be like, oh, yeah, like I was at dinner, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, dude, So that's my worst thing. Just consistently lying on, you know, at your press conference, on a radio show, in the locker room, and then switching up your story. So it's really irking me, getting me fired up on this Thursday and all week, really, for that matter.
Big week for Urban Meyer. Big week. I mean, the easy
make it an urban trifecta, Robbie.
Well, he is my worst thing in sports, but y'all have already kind of described that pretty well, so I'll go a different route. Kyrie Irving. And it's really just Kyrie Irving in general. And look, the latest news is, you know, they're still unclear of whether or not he's going to be able to play or is going to show up because of the vaccine concerns. And look, you know, it's that. I'm not really interested in getting into a vaccine discussion here on the show. But it's more just Kyrie Irving himself, how Kyrie Irving has always got to be the center of everything. And when he's not, he actively makes himself the center of everything. And Kyrie Irving, I've said it before here on the show, is probably my least favorite athlete of all time. I despise that man, and he continues to make it easier to despise him on a daily basis. So Kyrie Irving, maybe permanently the worst thing in sports, but certainly today, the worst thing in sports for me. Joe Rexroad, your response. Defend your boy.
Is that Joe's boy?
No, it's not.
You're an athlete. Yeah, use your platform positively.
I mean, well, you know, he's Mr. Flat Earth, which actually goes along with, like, the vaccine misinformation that he's really championing here. And by the way, I may have gone Robo Joe, but for me on my end there, you went super speedy. So I don't know if you're getting any of that from me, but you went super fast as you went, Kyrie Irving's the worst thing, I hate him. That was pretty good. It was like an auctioneer talking about Kyrie Irving.
Thank you.
No, he's a good choice. He's a good choice.
Dennis on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. I thought it was cool seeing Juan Soto at the Dodgers game to support his former teammates last night. So Juan Soto of the Washington Nationals in the crowd last night with some pretty good seats, I might add, watching Max Scherzer pitch and watching Trey Turner. Had Trey Turner's jersey on for the Dodgers last night. And by the way, I watched a lot of that game. Great baseball game last night between the Dodgers and the St. Louis Cardinals. Shout out to Matt Beatty getting a start at first base for the Dodgers in a wild card playoff game. Pretty cool.
Yeah, I couldn't make it through the whole thing. But, like, that's one of those things. I really, the wild card stuff's dumb. You know, I seem to feel like I'm complaining about everything today. But, like, it's good that the Dodgers won, you know, because there's such a gap between those teams. And a one-night thing, I just really don't like at all. But good for the Dodgers for coming back. Because early on, I thought it was getting a little dicey, and that pressure was already starting to ratchet up on them.
Heidi from Dixon texting in. The best thing, the Titans can win this division blindfolded, so they should rest the hurt guys. The worst thing is Jared making up ridiculous theories yesterday about Joe's approach to sports topics. He has no clue. This coming from Heidi on the text line.
I don't know what the reference. What did he say? I don't know.
I don't know. But Heidi is on your side, and therefore debunking the theory that maybe Heidi is Jared.
So Jared wants to give Joe a pedicure.
Heidi is Lou.
Well, could be. Heidi, we appreciate your participation.
Also, Yankees lost. Line.
The Yankees did lose. That certainly belongs in the conversation of the best thing in sports. We'll continue to take your submissions on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Sheil Kapadia from The Athletic. We'll get into all things NFL with him. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.